Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church's webcast. We're going to dig into more of Luke's gospel today, and particularly we're going to look at the boy Jesus in the temple and how Mary reacts to that whole experience.
Have we noticed that? Have we done a lot of Luke? That's not a peace thing. Did you know that? It's not a peace thing. That's like all Christian churches all over the world are following these historic readings. And so this year is the Gospel of Luke. We're going to track through an awful lot of it, and I'm just sort of making you aware. By the way, that also means that it wasn't my choice. It was actually Luke's own choice that we're going to follow the character development of Mary. We're going to understand her faith life, how she interacted with Jesus, and what he meant to her as we've been tracking through December. And now, here at the end of December and in the season of Christmas. And hopefully that explains this vicious time warp that you're about to experience. This is the end of Luke chapter 2. Please stand up for this, because this is Jesus' life. This is Jesus' work. This is our tradition here at Peace to honor that. And let me just read to you about Jesus' life from the Gospel of Luke. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Will you say a quick prayer with me before we dig into this scripture together? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've encountered your manger this past week. We've encountered who you are, your identity, the Son of God. And today, we're going to take a look at your preteen years. Lord, help us to make sense of this story through Mary. Help us to understand what you're teaching us in our lives, and help us to, by the Spirit, make applications so that we can make sense of what you're doing in our lives. We ask that you hear us for the sake of your great name. Amen. God may well be up to a million things in our lives, and we may understand about three of them. Mary makes this really clear. She's sort of brutal to herself about this, and yeah, it was almost certainly Mary. Probably wasn't Joseph telling this story to Luke. Probably wasn't him. Joseph disappears into thin air in Luke. He's gone. A lot of people think he died. And it probably wasn't the teachers that Jesus was sitting there in the temple with. Probably wasn't them. I mean, you got to think about this. These were the culture's leading people, the big authority figures of the time. I don't think that the young mom Mary burst in and said, "Hey guys, let me out myself in front of you. Let me like make it known that I didn't text or talk to or know the whereabouts of my teenage son for 3 whole days. I kind of think she probably took him off to the side to out herself to Jesus. And so it probably wasn't these teachers who had the full story. It probably wasn't the relatives who were traveling in that caravan either. It probably wasn't them. Could have been, but Luke doesn't tell us it was them. You know, maybe they were curious about how the story ended. You lost Jesus, Mary. Did you find him? You know, that whole thing. But it probably wasn't that either. And I'll tell you why. You have a quote here from Mary to Jesus, right? And then you have a quote here from Jesus to Mary. They're verbatim quotes. You know the other dead giveaway here? Here's the other dead giveaway about who's telling this story. Here it is. But his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. How do you think Luke knew that? Unless Mary told him. I suppose, you know, the Holy Spirit can do what the Holy Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit, you know, he immediately, lightning bolt, told Luke. But normally the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Normally that's not how he works. Normally it's people talking to people. And so it's probably, this was coming straight from the horse's mouth, right? This was an interview with the Mother of God, with Mary, which of course brings up an entirely different question altogether. And a shocking one once we think it all through. And it's this: Mary, why this story? Seriously, Mary, why this story? Do you see, like, this incredible, when you read the early Luke, because why this incredible, massive historical jump? I mean, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, we were looking at a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then here we are now staring into the face of preteen 12-year-old Jesus. It's a massive time warp. I mean, when you experience that and you read it in Luke, it's like, what had just happened to me here? It's like spiritual vertigo, like massive nausea jumping from one point in time to a dozen years later, all of a sudden, and just like that. And in between, there's no family photo album. None at all. You go from the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes to this. And in between, there's no, like, stories about Jesus trying out human language for the first time where Mary goes to Joseph, did you hear him say it? Goo, goo, gaga, it was awesome, I love that. And there's no story about, like, this teetering toddler Jesus and Joseph sitting there going, come on, buddy, come on, Jesus, take your first step, you can do it. There's no stories like that. There isn't even a shocking and sort of funny story about Joseph, you know, the carpenter teaching Jesus to hammer a nail for the first time, and he misses and he hits his thumb, and because he's the Son of God and he's perfect, there's absolutely no inclination. There's no inclination at all to say a naughty word. There's nothing like that. There's no stories like this about Jesus at all. Mary tells us this story. And it, let's be honest, it only gets more shocking from there. Because here you have Mary outing herself in front of the whole world. And who does that? You see how she's outing herself? She's outing herself, committing one of the most egregious parenting sins you can possibly imagine. She lost her kid. She lost her kid. Okay, and this was no normal lostness of some kid, okay? This was, you know, I've had it happen where, you know, I've been at Belk and Eliana runs behind a rack of clothes and your heart goes boom, 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 and the world's crumbling, and then 60 seconds, oh, there she is. You know, I lost my kid for, this is 3 days. This is three whole days. And you can say, we can say, granted, it was a different culture. We're vicious helicopter parents these days. We understand that. Different culture. Back then, it was a village raised as a child, and they're in this traveling. We understand that. But still, Mary, it was 3 days. You lost your kid for 3 days. And let's be honest, okay? We need to be honest here, because Mary is. This wasn't some normal kid. If there was ever a time to be a helicopter parent, if there was ever a time to make sure a kid wouldn't get lost, it was this one, because this wasn't a normal kid. This was the Redeemer, and Mary knew that. This was the Most High. This was God Himself. This was Mary's whole future. Not just Mary's whole future, this was our entire future. And Mary put it into jeopardy with her lackadaisical parenting. And Mary's outing herself in front of the entire world about this. She didn't just lose some kid. Mary lost God. And then she compounds her parental errors, her parenting sins. Did you catch that? I mean, I understand that she was upset. I'm not casting stones. I would have been too. I can understand how she was an emotional train wreck, how she did some things that she wished she wouldn't have done. I totally understand that. We give her grace. We're not looking down on her at all. But did you notice what she did when she found Jesus finally? Did you notice what she did? Here's what she said. "Son, why have you treated us like this?" Way to blame the victim, Mary. "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." See what she just did? She blamed God. You know, if you lose a kid, it's never a good idea to blame the kid. Even if it's a sinful, naughty kid, like you shouldn't, probably should, not very endearing, not very wise to blame the kid. But when it's God, never a good idea to blame God. And, you know, it's not like Mary didn't know better. Okay, let's be honest here. This was a 12-year-old Jesus. This had been 12 whole years where Mary had had the chance to understand that this was a perfectly obedient child. You have to understand that. Mary had gone to the mom's clubs. She listened to all those other moms talk and whine about how they had to threaten their kids with no dessert to get them to eat their broccoli. And never once did Mary have to threaten Jesus with that. Never once. He would sit there at his tray and he'd happily eat his broccoli every single night. And Mary had 12 whole years to come to understand it was not her ultimate parenting, it was not her perfect self that had made this perfectly obedient kid. And yet the first time, probably the first time that something went a little weird and a little bit wonky, guess whose fault it was? God's. And here she is, showing up to the temple, this woman who had not just lost some normal kid, she had lost God, and she shows up and she blames him for it. Suffice it to say, this is not a scripture. This is really not a scripture that is flattering of Mary, especially when you consider her emotional and spiritual state, which she outs herself about as well. Did you catch that? She said it. This is what she said. "I've been anxiously searching for you." And she meant that. She really meant the anxiously searching part. You know, Luke hardly ever uses this word, incredibly intense emotional word. He hardly ever uses this Greek word, only uses it three other times. Twice, you know where it's used? He uses it in a story that talks about the loss and the anguish of being separated from God forever. That's the other time it's used. You know the other time? When the Apostle Paul left one of his churches for the last time and said goodbye. The anguish, the heart-wrecking that did to those people. It's a deep, profound emotion. And we get this. You know, you lose your kid for 3 days. This is what I would do. I would construct all the worst possible scenarios, wouldn't you? You know, you'd sit there and you'd think about how many bad things happened to Jesus and how it was all your fault and how all this guilt you were going to have now. And so you can understand how Mary is an emotional and spiritual train wreck. And her heart is just torn in two, and so she shows up to the temple, and she blames God for the fact that she had lost not just some normal kid, but that she had lost God. And when you think all this through, it becomes shocking that Mary tells this story, doesn't it? So no stories about Goo Goo Gaga, no stories about Jesus wielding a hammer for the first time. No stories about Jesus eating broccoli. There's this story, which, no matter which way you cut it, is not a flattering picture of Mary. Not at all. But it's always like this. And this is what I want to point out to you. You realize it's always like this in the scriptures? Every time God tells a story about people who are encountering the gospel in their life, it's like this. It always shocks them. It always surprises them. It always feels dangerous to them. And they never understand it while it's happening to them. They never do. They never understand that God may be doing a million things in their lives and they're not understanding any of it. It's always like that in the scriptures. They never understand it. And, you know, I'm not sure this morning that I actually have to work too hard to make this clear in your lives. Do I? I mean, how does losing the Son of God for 3 days and all of the anguish that created Mary, how does that ever fit into a salvation jigsaw puzzle, into a good master plan? How is it possible? How is it possible that depression or a death or a marriage that promised so much and left you with only regret later could be good? How can that demotion or that miscarriage or unexplained infertility for years and years or the fact that you thought by now you would have met Prince Charming 5 years ago and yet you're still single, how does any of that fit into a salvation plan? And how can God take my mistakes and my massive sins, even sins as egregious as losing the Son of God for 3 days, how does God take those things and fit them into a big gospel plan for me and for everybody else? How in the world is that possible? You know who gives us the answer? Jesus. And I don't think I can make too big a deal of this. Did you know that this is the first time Jesus talks in the Bible? The very first time. If you've got one of those red letter Bibles, it's the first time the red letters are going to show up in Jesus' history. The very first time. And Jesus' first words are not daddy or mommy. Jesus' first words, if you think about him hard enough, reveal to us his whole life and his whole purpose. Incredible words. And they're in response. They're actually two questions to Jesus, to Mary's one question. Here they are. Why are you searching for me? Jesus' first words in the Bible. Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? If you think about those words long enough, you come to understand that that's the question everybody asks about Jesus. Where are you? Fast forward for a second, okay? Fast forward after the resurrection, okay? They showed up to the tomb. And what do the angels say? What are you doing for him? What are you doing here? Why are you looking for him? Why are you searching? It's the same question. Because this is how Christians, this is how believers always experience the gospel in their lives. The ark is way up there. They can't see it from down here. They cannot understand the fact that the jigsaw puzzle is there. And they're just one of the pieces. They can't see it. And so you have all these Christians all over the scripture. And by the way, it's still happening today right here in this church. They look at their lives and they say, where is he? I can't see the puzzle. I feel like a piece without the rest of the... Where is it? And so they look around and you have these Christians, you have Mary, who they show up in the temple and their hearts are wrecked and they have so much anxiety and they don't understand that it had to be that way. That it was part of the bigger picture. And you have believers showing up at this tomb, not expecting to be Jesus to be gone, but they expect him to be dead. And their hearts are broken and they can't fathom the gospel. They have no idea. They just have no idea that God was up to absolutely a million things in their lives and they were understanding none of it. It's only later that Mary gets it. Only later. It's only later that Mary understands, well, of course, he had to be in Jerusalem. He was always pointed towards Jerusalem. He had to be in his Father's house. He was always about his Father's business of saving people. Of course he had to be there. She only understood that later. She only pieced it all together that Jesus had to be vacant for 3 days, not just from a traveling caravan, but from the land of the living. And people were looking for him with hearts broken and thinking that God was dead and he was never going to come back to life. Their hearts were just broken and they only understood it later that it had to be this way. And Jesus asked the believers, those angels, when they showed up, don't you guys get it? Don't you get it? He had to go missing. He had to rise from the dead. And I can just picture Mary. Can't you this interview that's happening with Luke? Luke said he was going around. And can't you just picture this? Her eyes are glistening with tears. And she says to Luke, we did not understand what he was saying. We didn't get it at all. Only now we do. Only later do we see that he had to be missing, that he had to die, that he had to rise, that he had to be about the Father's business, and only now I see. And I think that that's why Mary told this story. I think Mary sat there with Luke, her eyes glistening with tears and full of the Spirit, and she said, Luke, tell him this story. Don't tell him the one about how Jesus said goo goo gaga for the first time. Don't tell him about the teetering toddler who finally took his first step with Joseph. Don't tell him about the time that he hit his thumb with the hammer. Don't tell him that story. Tell him this one. Tell him the story about how easy it is to be a piece in the salvation jigsaw puzzle and not understand it at all. Tell him the story about this young mom and this preteen Jesus who, you know, this young mom didn't get it at all. Didn't understand that he had to go to Jerusalem, that he had to be vacant for 3 days, that he had to be about his Father's business of saving people. Tell him that story, Luke. Tell him that story. Tell him that story so that they understand that the infertility, that the marriage breakups, that the cancer, that the depression, that the deaths, that all of it, that the miscarriage, they all fit in to some kind of perfect salvation jigsaw puzzle. Tell them that they just won't see it yet. Tell them that. Tell them that so they understand this truth. That God's actually not up to a million things in their lives. He's up to just one. He's going to save them. Amen. Please stand. Let's confess our faith.